And I invite you at this time, and again, I want to welcome so many here. It's a beautiful day, a very unusually beautiful day. And I would ask you to turn to Titus. Titus only has two pages in the Bible, but it's very vital to the subject of this time and age. It's right next to 2 Timothy. And on the other side, it's Hebrews, and go back two books and two pages. It's very small, but it's very, very important. Have you ever, and I'm talking about Adventist, have you ever felt like you understood a subject because you've never been confronted with it until you were confronted with it and found out you knew very little about it? Don't want to see any hands, but search your own hearts, because that happened to me several years ago. A very good friend of mine, younger, and I was very surprised and very shocked when he said that the old covenant was legalism. Trying to keep the Ten Commandments was legalism. Now, legalism is not another word for obedience, but trying to earn salvation by keeping the law is. And there's a big difference. I received a little magazine, very well done, in the past 2 weeks, and it's called Proclamation. I just wondered if any of you ever have received it. We have one back here. We have two. As I read that, it really broke my heart, because we're not talking about people in other denominations. We're talking about the remnant church. We're talking about our brothers and sisters that have been taught and believe the same thing we did but have gone out of the church. And it is because of what I want to speak to you about today. And that's the covenants. Now, a covenant is very similar, if not the same thing, as what we call a contract. And there are many contracts. And if somebody comes to work on your house and do major, you want to have a contract. You know, what do you propose you're going to do, and here's what I propose to pay you. And we come together and sign the contract. This is a contract that God, the Father, and God, the Son, made with us before the world was created. So I want to read this, and I'm going to try to do something. I want to see you at the same time. I can see you through my glasses. If I take them off, you're a blur. But yet, if I keep them on, the scripture is a blur. So I'm going to try to read below them. So be patient with me. And the first verse says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, now listen, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And we will see that this promise is the everlasting covenant. And God the Father and God the Son proclaimed the everlasting covenant before we were ever created, before this world was created. So what is everlasting? Pardon? Always. It's never ending. So this is what I want to present to you today of the different types of covenants. We just think that there's agreement. God says something, we said, yeah, we'll do it. And that's a covenant. Well, it is a covenant. But I found something that really opened my eyes for the first time. And I can't wait to share it with you. But I would like to read before we get into these texts. This is taken from The Faith I Live By. And it says, "The Lord hath sworn, and he will not repent. Father and son are pledged to fulfill the terms of the everlasting covenant." And here's what we just read that the everlasting covenant is. It's when it was between God and his son. Christ was not alone in making this great sacrifice. Now, this is talking about the crucifixion. It was the fulfillment of the covenant made between him and his Father before the foundation of the world was laid. With clasped hands, they had entered into a solemn pledge that Christ would become the surety of the human race if it were overcome by Satan's sophistry. Now, I think all of us know what a surety is. If you bought a home, and we've had this happen, and we didn't have enough money to satisfy the lender, the bank, so they said, "Well, in order, we want to give you the loan, but you're going to have a co-signer." A co-signer is one that's going to make sure that you can make the payments if you fail to, that they are responsible for it. That's a simple covenant. And this is what Jesus has said that he would do if humanity fails, and as we know, it failed in a very short period of time. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. At least I don't know. But he was governed by a covenant. And we want to understand that the covenants can be logically put into three different categories. If you have a pencil, please write this down. The first one is the promised. And that's what we just read, that God promised us that he would be surety. Now, to bring it right down to home, a father or a mother can promise their child a bicycle. That he doesn't have to do anything. So we're going to give you a bicycle. But what is his responsibility? What is the child's responsibility? To accept it. To receive it. That's right. He can say, "Hey, I don't want that." Then it's broken that promise because it has to be received. So God has promised that he would be surety for us. We must believe it, and we must claim it. The other one is a commanded covenant. And a commanded covenant is one that is between with unequal partners. The one commanding, which in this case, it could be a father or a mother commanding their child to go cut the grass. And if that child refused, then there's going to be what? There's going to be consequences, or there's going to be... Now, they don't say it anymore, but when I was growing up, they said, "You're going to get a whooping." And that wasn't a spanking, that was a whooping. So there was going to be punishment if they commanded and the child didn't do it. Now, here in this state, our state has the authority to command us to do whatever they want us to do. And they command us a lot of things. They command us to pay taxes. So what's the consequences if you fail to pay your taxes? You're going to be punished. And you may go to jail. Now, I know that Seventh-day Adventists believe in a commanded covenant with the state, And the state says you can't go over 70 miles an hour on a freeway. But lo and behold, there are some Adventists that have gone over the speed limit. And what happened? We're not mentioning any names here. What happened? They had to pay a fine. So that was the punishment for refusing to comply with a commanded covenant. The last one is an agreement covenant. In other words, you have something for sale and you want $25 for it, and a person comes and looks at it and he wants it, and he says, I'll pay you $25. So you're in agreement. You shake hands and you part ways. Most people, as I have reviewed this, think that there's only one covenant. That's an agreement. But we have three. The everlasting covenant, and I'm going to try to read this, so bear with me. I'm going to try to leave the glasses on. The everlasting covenant is a, which one? We just read it. Of these three, a promised, a commanded, or agreement covenant. The everlasting covenant is a promised. God promised. All we have to do is accept it. That's the only condition to a of the everlasting covenant is we must accept it. The next one. How do we know that this everlasting covenant, this promised covenant, when was the first time it went into effect? Pardon? Okay, well, it did apply to Abraham, but Adam was the first one. And we'll get to that just a little bit later. And I would like to read something here that God had made. Maybe Adam wasn't even aware of that. But when Adam sinned, the everlasting covenant kicked in. Otherwise, and let's go on. The next one is a commanded covenant. And I have already said it. It's made between two unequal parties. And God did the commanding. And Adam had the choice of obeying. Now I know even in Adventism, the word obey is conjured up as legalism. That we have to obey. But there again, obedience is not another name for legalism. We obey because we love God. We do not have the power within ourselves to obey. So sure, if we're trying to obey for the benefits, that could be viewed as legalism. But we come to Jesus first, recognizing our total inability to keep His holy law of Ten Commandments. But He says, if you love me, then He will give us the strength to keep His commandments. So we don't try to keep His commandments so He will love us. We say we love Jesus, and He will give us the power to keep His commandments. If the everlasting covenant with Adam. And what was the penalty if Adam disobeyed? A slap on the wrist? Death. That's right. Eternal death. That was the penalty. And it was such an easy thing to comply with. But there was another person in that garden, and it was a fallen angel. And through his temptation, it seemed very easy to deceive Adam and Eve. So when he fell, that's how we know that there was an everlasting covenant. That Jesus stepped in and said, I will take the punishment. I will be surety. I'll pay the loan. I'll pay back whatever needs to be done. So that's how we know that. The third is the agreement type. And of course, I already said it, the agreement type is that you have something to sell. Somebody wants to buy it. You agree on the terms. You sign it, and you close the contract by signing it. Now, I want you to turn to, and this is so fascinating, I want you to turn at this time to Exodus, the 19th chapter. And I want to read and see if you can. I had to read it several times before I saw it. Starting with verse 5, and you know that God called Moses up to the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai. He had brought them out of Egypt. And he said that he took them on eagle's wings. You ever wondered why he used that analogy? I like to watch nature programs on the television. And the mother eagle, maybe the father too, but the little eaglet, they're so comfortable in the nest that they just won't stay there. Now, I know some of you young people, sometime when it's time for you to get up early and the bed is so comfortable, it's just so difficult to get out. Well, that's the same way with these little eaglets. They just want to sit there. So what happens? The parents, they scratch up all the nice soft stuff, and then all the sticks come through, and the little eaglet wants to sit down and whoo, you know. So he decides it's time to fly. Well, they don't push him. They may push him out of the nest, but they're always right there. They usually nest up on a very high cliff. So the little eaglet, first time out, trying his wings, may falter and start down. Well, they'll swoop right under. And I've seen them, and they'll catch that little one and take him to safety. Well, this is what Jesus did when he took them out of Egypt. And he brought them, and they complained all the way. I don't know how in the world, Lord, ever put up with them. I'm so glad that we're much better than they were. But he says, I've brought you out. He called Moses up in the mountain. He said, now, this is Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if, what is the word if indicate? A condition. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. And all the earth is mine, and ye shall be to me a kingdom. Now, if you have a kingdom, what have you got to have? A king. That's right. So, believe it or not, when you read the history of these horrible people, how God wanted to be their king. He wanted to be their leader. He shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which ye shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came down and he spoke to them. And what did they say? Readily. All that you say, we will do. So what kind of a covenant was that? What? Agreement. Very, very good. Because they had to do something. Now, as I was reading this, when you read about the thunderings, the lightnings, and the mountain actually shook. So if the mountain shook, you know the earth was shaking. How in the world could you say no? So very readily, without thinking about it, yes. And another time Moses went up and came back down, and they said, Moses, you speak to us. We don't want God to speak to us. It was tremendous. It wasn't in secret. I mean, they could hear him for miles around and the earth shaking. So now, if you will turn, please, to the 24th verse. I mean, the 24th chapter. And we will read another and see what you say. Now, they did this several times, but we'll stop with this one. The 24th, starting with the first verse. Now he said to Moses, this is God, and you know, I found out, I didn't know it, but it was actually God and Jesus on the top of that mountain. So when you really study something, you find out things that you thought you knew, but it's new all over again. It's beautiful. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship from here. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. If you have a concordance, it says ordinances. Now, you know what the ordinances were apart from the Ten Commandment law. And all the judgments, and again, all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which you have spoken, we will do. So they very readily said that again. Now, there's talking about the ordinances, and we know what those were. That was having to do with the sanctuary service. That was the Sabbaths, the Sabbath days. There's a big distinction, and here's where so many people, in this article that I read, they're still saying that. We are not going to keep the old Jewish Sabbath. But it's not talking about the seventh day Sabbath. It's talking about the ceremonial Sabbaths. And we know that at the cross, all that was done away with. Okay, the 20th chapter, we know what that is. But if you will look at verse 12 or verse 13 and tell me if you can see the difference. So God said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. So what kind of a covenant is that? Pardon? Yes, it's a commanded. So you can see the agreement covenants that they had were what were nailed to the cross. The ordinances, the ceremonial laws, all of that. Because type had met antitype, And Jesus had fulfilled all of the promises that he had made to them. It is so very clear, but you must read it over and over again until you understand it. There's one other text I'd like to read, if I can find it. It's in Luke. It's in the 10th chapter, and it's the 25th verse. Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus saw through that real quick. So he turned it right back. And he said, So Jesus answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He's talking about the Ten Commandments right here. And he said to him, Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly, do this, and you will live. But the lawyer wanted to justify himself, and he said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? So who is his neighbor? Jesus told about the Good Samaritan, and that's who the neighbor is. But the point I'm trying to make here, that if the Ten Commandment law was to be done away with, why didn't Jesus tell that lawyer right then? He said, Listen, I'm going to tell you what the law says, but just hang in there, because it's going to be done away when I die on the cross. Does that make any sense whatsoever? It's so clear. But yet, this is what people are saying, that the Ten Commandment law belongs to the Old Covenant and not the New. The only difference between the Old and the New Covenant is that the ratification of the New Covenant, of the Everlasting Covenant, is what it is, was after the ratification of the Old Covenant, which was ratified by how? By the blood of animals. And the Everlasting Covenant was ratified by Jesus' own blood. So, there we have it. If you ever run across a Seventh-day Adventist, they're just trying to find a reason or an excuse to leave the church, then I hope you still have an answer. I didn't have an answer to this person. And it pains me for Seventh-day Adventists in this magazine. They had gone to Southern. They had graduated. They had gone to Andrews and got a degree, and still are distorting this old covenant to make you believe that we no longer keep the Sabbath because it belongs to the Jews. The only thing that makes sense to me is Mary and I travel a lot, and we get tired of riding on a four-lane or eight-lane expressway wherever we're going, long distances. So we say, because we're curious, I am. I said, I wonder where that little road over there goes. It's going in the same direction as I-95, but really I-95 is boring. So I would like to go there and see what is over there. Some different scenery. So you go over there, and eventually you get tired of that, so you get back on I-95. And you go on to your destination. This is the way I looked at the Old Covenant. The Universal Covenant is like I-95. It goes all the way from the beginning to the end of your destination. But This is what he did with Israel. He just took kind of a little detour. It was temporary. It was to show them the everlasting covenant. That's what it was. And then when that was completed, he fulfilled all of his promises with ancient Israel. And then he paid the ultimate price. May God bless you as you study this important subject. Our closing song.